listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Morning, New Chapel. How are we doing today? Oh, that was weak. How are we doing today? Am I doing good? I have the great honor to introduce somebody who's a father in the ministry, has been so impactful to me personally as well as the church. Scripture says to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. And I can't think of somebody better who fits that scriptural prescription. And he is a board member of New Chapel. He's the leader of Souls for Christ, who is making disciples, very literally doing that. And he is preaching all over the country and in other countries. And we are so grateful to have him. New Chapel, would you stand on your feet and put your hands together to honor Pastor Tommy Pinkerton?
Well, go ahead and give Jesus a big hand clap if you love the Lord. Praise God. You can be seated if you can. Well, glory. Some of y'all drove up to church today and was looking for Pastor Joe, and too bad for you. Amen. Well, as you know, I always just kind of just show up. I don't think we've had a scheduled appearance for quite some time. And the last time that I was here, we were here to celebrate the passing of Pastor Joe's father. And today, you can see Kaya and Pastor Joe are not here. Why are they not here? Well, I got a little text to tell you. As of 3:42 a.m. this morning, New Chapel has grown by one. Pastor Joe and Kaya have welcomed 8 pounds, 10-ounce Vera Astaire Bevilacqua into the world in the comfort of their home. Now, here's some good, this is going to bless you. Vera was in such a rush to get to church this morning, she arrived before, glory to God, Jesus on the main line, she arrived before the midwife could arrive. So, if you did not believe that Pastor Joe is an avid hunter, as I still don't, somebody say amen. I think he gets them killed and then he takes poses with these animals. Pastor Joe himself, folks, delivered the baby. Because the midwife didn't get there in time. So, my goodness, can you imagine? I can't. I'd have fell out 10 times, amen? I'd have passed out so many times it wouldn't even been funny. But he delivered that baby. So, you know, if he's ever had a, you know, can puff up his chest and with his antlers and his deer and everything, now he can be like, and I delivered a baby. My name's Joe Bevilacqua. Glory to God. So, man, I'm telling you, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Amen. But God is good. And so that's why they're not here, because we are into growing the church around here. Somebody say amen. And he's got four and no more. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad to be in the presence of the Lord, and I'm glad to be able to come and be with you guys this morning. How many of you love the Lord? Give Jesus a big hand clap if you love Jesus. Glory to God. Well, hey, if you're here for the very first time, we want to say welcome home, and we love you already. But if you came here looking to see Pastor Joe, obviously he's not here, and you get me. And I don't know if that's good, bad. And some of you are going to think it's great, and some of you came and be like, my God, if I'd have known he was here, I'd have came to the 9 o'clock service too. Amen. Got to help y'all out. Okay, well, you know, I said this in the last service, and I'll say it again in this service, but I'm going to say this part at the beginning, amen, that a pastor's job, amen, the job of a pastor, it is to comfort the afflicted. Amen. That's what a pastor does. A pastor comforts the afflicted. But though you call me Pastor Tommy, I'm not a pastor.
Say amen.
Okay, I'll come over here and see if I can get some help. Say amen. My job as an evangelist, I'll just say that so everybody's comfortable with that particular of the fivefold gifts. Also, I'll say evangelist. My job as an evangelist is to afflict the comforted. Oh, not Tino. Wasn't a lot of amens because they know after I said that, I'm clarifying what's about to happen. Amen. My job is to afflict people that are comfortable. Amen. I got to go over here to an army man. Amen. Amen. I got to come over here to some military people. Thank you, Nate, for following me with the camera. I've already broke the law. So why stop now? Amen. Yeah, he's not here, so praise the Lord. But he's watching. Everybody wave. Amen. Glory to God. If I were to come to you to work out, which I'm not, but if I was, you wouldn't let me play no games, right? If I had a goal and I wanted to be a certain type of way, you would press me to be that way because that's what you do when you go to a gym. You don't get the guy that's eating Krispy Kremes to be your trainer. No condemnation if you like Krispy Kremes. I mean, come on, somebody. No condemnation. Amen. But you would get the guy that looks good, right? And in order to get to where you want to be, sometimes you got to be pressed a little bit and challenged a little bit. And that's what we're going to preach and do a little bit on today. Somebody say amen. And look at your neighbor. And I hope whoever you're sitting by, you like them. And if you don't, offer them a mint and let's keep on preaching. Amen. And look at your neighbor and say, he's going to preach to you today. Look at him and tell him, he's going to preach to you. You might as well get ready. Hey, glory. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider one another. Say amen. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How many of you know we are supposed to be stirring up love and good works? Okay. Whew. How many of you know we have to stir up love and good works? Now, how many of you know on Facebook, some of you are stirring up something else? Got to keep on preaching, amen. Stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, I don't know if you have any idea, but don't you know that Jesus is coming back soon? Amen. Look around. The Lord is soon to return. Jesus is about to step out on the platform of the atmosphere. Gabriel's about to put his lips on the trumpet, and our Lord and Savior, who the Bible says that his leg is tattooed on his leg, is King of kings and Lord of lords, and his vesture is dipped in blood. And Jesus, one of these days, is going to stretch his long, lean Galilean leg over that steamy white stallion, and he's going to call those that are waiting and watching to meet him in the air. I'm talking about the second coming of Jesus. I'm talking about the rapture of the church. And as much as terrible is going on around here, things are about to get better, because one of these days I'm going to be caught up in a whirlwind and I'm going to meet Jesus. Amen. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for that mansion in the sky. I've got some songs in my belly. Somebody say amen. Jesus is coming. coming. That's why I don't get messed up with all the stuff. Amen. I need a beeper up here. I don't get messed up with all the stuff going on in the world, because I have a blessed hope that one of these days my body and gravitation is going to lose its hold on my body, and I'm going to see Jesus in the air. The Magruders sang a song that said, talk about a groundbreaking. Oh, what an earth shaking. When my Lord returns to claim his own, I'm about to leave this world. Amen. I'm not here to stay. I'm about to leave. I'm about to. Hey, look at your neighbor and say, he's about to go. We forget that there's a blessed hope. We've got to be looking for him. While you got your face down in your phone, you ought to have your face looking towards the hills from whence cometh your help. For your help comes from the Lord, not your likes on your posts. I wish I had a half a church in here that could say amen. That's good preaching, Georgia boy. A little disclaimer, I am not for the Georgia Bulldogs, but praise the Lord, we don't have to worry about it because of Daronta. So, we can go to nasty Walmart, where there's a whole lot worse things going on there than Daronta, but we can't watch football. Okay, but then praise the Lord, let's keep on preaching. Got to stay with the word. Got to stay with the word. It's hard, though. I ain't going to lie to you. You don't know how hard it is until you got up here and you have all these thoughts in your mind that are all not Jesus. Amen. I'm trying to be holy and right, Ed and Sheila. They'll keep me right. These two right here, if you need somebody to help keep you right, these two will help keep you right. Amen. Just line up next to them, and if you try to get out of line, Sheila will slap you. How do I know? Had a little red mark earlier from church at this age. You're so crazy. But we have got to remind ourselves that Jesus is coming. Now, here's the deal. He's coming soon, right? Now, one of the songs that we used to sing a long, long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and a lot of you are so young, y'all don't even know what I'm even talking about, but there used to be a hymn book. Okay, and it was read back, church hymnal, and about page 103 was, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom. They used to sing scary songs and talk about many will meet their doom. Trumpets are going to sound. But you know what? There's a reality to that. Because once the rapture of the church happens, 7 years of tribulation will be soon to follow. We have got to be about the Father's business, telling everybody and their brother that we can. Jesus is coming soon. I don't got time to be messing with all these other little side things, these distractions in the world. All these distractions, all this little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of this. How many of you know it's distractions to prevent the body of Christ from remembering what their hope is? Don't forsake the assemblies of yourself. Hey, I have to tell you, I'm proud of New Chapel. Why? Because everywhere we've got people bowing their knee to Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. See how I did that? Well, you can't go to church. And you can't do this, and you can't do that. But aren't you glad that the Bible says, as long as I'm biblical, I don't care about your politics. I care about the Bible. Amen. The rest don't make no much difference to me. Amen. I care about the Bible. Are you Republican? No. Are you Democrat? No. Amen. I am a Christian. I'm blood bought, spirit taught. Believe me when I tell you, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. And I stand with my shoulders squared back and a microphone in one hand. And I'll tell you, it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. And if your politics don't line up with Jesus, you are too political. That's all free. That ain't in my notes. Somebody say glory. Hey, man, Jesus is coming soon. I don't got time to be wondering if you're an elephant or a donkey. Y'all better be glad I didn't go King James Version right there. I wanted to, though. Shoo! Where am I? 33 minutes and 55 seconds and counting down. I got 30 minutes to land this plane, and here we go. The Bible says our sermon series. Y'all know how I pull in the sermon series and everything into whatever I'm doing at Glory to God. That we're a part of this team, and this team called New Chapel, the church. And the first thing that we've got to do in order to do that, number one, we've got to have an awareness that there's a hope that all of us should be focusing our attention on, and that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, in order to be on Team Jesus, Team New Chapel, Team Church, you've got to have an understanding Jesus is coming soon. Amen? I'm getting ready to leave this world. Some people think, well, the only reason they preach on the second coming is because it's a crutch. Well, it's the best crutch I know. I'll crutch around on that thing all the time, that even when everything's going bad, I can say, well, you know what? One of these days, Jesus is going to get me out of here. One of these, I know I'm limping now. I've been through hell and high water, and everything don't look good, and I don't know if I'm going to get shot. I don't know if I'm going to get ran over. I don't know if I'm going to get the Rona. I don't know what is happening. Should I wear a mask, not wear a mask? You know what? None of it means anything to me, because one of these days, I'm leaving this world, because Jesus is the Lord of my life. That leads me to point number two. Point number two is that we have to have the right spirit. Gonna get quiet in this Baptist church. Take your preacher finger. And you need to probably, I want you to point at someone else, but I guess you probably should point to yourself and say, self. Say, self, you need the right spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, that they chose Stephen because he was faithful and he had the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, faithful, and he had the Holy Ghost. I like to say Holy Ghost, amen, because I'm old school. I mean, Holy Spirit is nice, but I like to say Holy Ghost. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. O God, please don't take your spirit from me. Ain't that interesting? That David, the one who was the apple of God's eye, the one that killed Goliath, right? The one that sang songs on a mountain with sheep, said to God, God, please, create in me a clean heart. Anybody in this church? And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. You think just because you in church, sitting on a pew, or chair rather, that you can't be... Okay, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. How many of you know that those of you that have been in church for, let's say, 5 minutes, that there's always opportunity to have the wrong spirit? Anybody in this church this morning? How many of you know the reason that there is an opportunity to have the wrong spirit is because, let's see, 1, 2, 3. There's 3 folks right here. And of these 3 people right here, I guarantee you all 3 don't think the same thing about everything that you think about. Her opinion about one thing is different than her opinion, and her opinion about one thing is different than his opinion. And if we end up focusing on opinions more than we are Jesus, there is an opportunity not to have the right spirit. Come on now. Good to see you. There's an opportunity now. to have the wrong spirit. That's why David says, since I'm a king, there's always opportunity when I look at all my people in my kingdom to not have the right spirit. I've been in church. Hey, y'all. I've been in church my whole life. Like, I was born on Wednesday night, and I was in church on Sunday morning. That was before everybody's like, I got to keep my baby away from everybody because I don't want them to get the wrong tur. That was back when people had faith in God. I'll preach to y'all right here. That's back when people had faith in God. They knew that they, in the first place that baby needed to go before it went anywhere else was church. That was back in that day. Mm-hmm. So I was born, and then I was in church. Before children's church, too. There wasn't no children's church. No, you know what children's church was? Under the pew with a crayon, coloring a book. And guess what? Bruh, if you didn't act right, guess what you got? A beating in church. And if you was in a Pentecostal church where you got raised up, you could get beaten. They wouldn't know if that was Jesus or you crying. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. At a Baptist church, you start hollering. They'd be like, what are you hollering for? And I remember that pastor would preach. We started out in a Baptist church. And that preacher preached on only two things. Two things. Y'all lucky around here. Y'all get little sermon series and you get all these other little nice things. But luckily you didn't grow up in my church because they preach two things. Jesus is coming soon and you going to hell. And it was crazy because the pastor, when he was preaching about everybody going to hell, he was acting like he's glad. Y'all got a decision. I'm going to count to three. And you've got to make a decision between heaven or hell, life or death. And if you don't make a decision before you go home, and he would be like, and if you were to get ran over by a Mack truck when you left this church, would you make heaven? And you're like, my God, if I don't get the right, am I going to get ran over? And you know, and he would have you so scared, you'd be like, I'm getting saved. I don't even know what the heck he's talking about. Why did you get saved? I didn't want to be ran over by the Mack truck that's going to run over me as soon as we leave church. And then, like, the pastor's out there jumping in his 16-wheeler, you know, 18-wheeler. Oh, you didn't get saved? Yikes. That's the church I grew up in, right? But you know what? So I've had plenty of opportunities to have the wrong spirit. I accepted or heard. See, Jesus has called you to be in ministry and to be saved and do what before you even born. Jesus has been calling your name before you were even formed in your mother's womb. You're welcome. And so I acknowledged the call of God at 17 years old. Sitting in my bedroom, I acknowledged and heard that he was calling me. So I got in ministry at 17 years old. And you know what? How it is when you think that you're going to get into ministry, that all of a sudden you're just going to be like the American Idol, you know, and you're going to just all of a sudden, ta-da, look, the spotlight's on me, everybody, in the name of Jesus. I got a microphone in one hand and a Bible in the other hand, and I got to tell you, my first sermon was in an all-black church. Can you think about that? 17 years old, Church of God in Christ, all-black church. I was the only white dude in the room. Pretty scared, but amen. They made me feel welcome, and I preached my first sermon. I didn't know how to tune. Y'all don't know what tuning is, but in the black church, to tune, you got to, hey, and sing your whole sermon. I didn't know how to do that at that time, and I stood there. I didn't know, and that's when it all began. Then I showed up at a church, and my man of God, Michael Knight, comes into my life. Michael Knight comes into my life. He's an on fire, full of the Holy Ghost, wild Italian and Indian feather. Amen. Hey, got to make it clear, right? Glory. Hey, half Italian, half Native American. Does that make anybody feel better? Good. And so we did that. He is a wild man. So one day we were running, and when I started with him, we had 30-some-odd kids. By the time I was about ready to move on to other things, we were running 250 teenagers. So that would be too many for this room. And we were preaching, spitting, running, shouting, casting devils out of people. people getting saved, baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Young folks, revival in the high schools was breaking out. And my man of God, Michael Knight, one day he said, "Hey, I want to change the configuration of the chairs." And I said, "Okay." He said, because see, I was 17. I'd come home from school, and this was before phones and all this internet and everything. I'd come home, and I would just sit in the man of God's office. I would just sit there in the man of God's office. He wouldn't even talk to me because he's busy doing. I don't even know what he was doing. I would just sit there because I had somehow God gave me enough sense to know that if I had any free time, I needed to be in the man of God's office. I don't know if I'm on or not. Nate, are we good? We on? Okay, thank you. I didn't know if y'all could hear me or not. I'm sitting in there, so he decides, "Hey, go change the chairs. I want you to lift up all the chairs and put them up against the wall." I said, "Praise the Lord, because I'm here to serve," right? So I'm excited about it at first. So I'm by myself. Now, there's 250 young people. That means there's 300 chairs. I am lifting those churches, and at that time, we had worship, but it was different, and y'all need to thank God it was different now than it was then. It was back when everybody was into all the Jewish music. Jehovah Jireh, my provider is grace, is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, that was me, and I had that on a tape. Y'all too young. Okay, a tape, amen. And I'm in there moving the chairs. I'm doing all of this stuff. I'm getting all the chairs in order. Every chair is up against the wall, all 300. I walk into Pastor Michael's office with a sense of great accomplishment. Ta-da, Michael. I mean, Pastor Michael, because I didn't say Michael because I was afraid God would kill me, amen. So I said, Pastor Michael, I got all the chairs. And look and see what you think. He walks out through the double doors, didn't even come up in enough for the door to close. It's like resting on his hip. He looks around, and I've got a big smile on my face, chest out. He says, "Well, I think we need to put them back." I said, "Jehovah Jireh, my provider is good. You want to do what? I need you to put them back." I said, "No problem. His grace is sufficient for me. I'm putting them all back and everything. Still got a pretty good, I didn't have a right spirit, but it wasn't wrong. I had a great spirit. Amen. It was kind of gray. So I was doing, got them all back, come back out. Okay, 300 chairs. Pastor Michael, thanks for the help. Okay, never mind. You didn't. What do you think? He doesn't even let the door come close, resting leg out like that, short Italian. And he says, "Lift up the middle sections." I said, "The devil is a liar." Now, I might have been cussing him in my mind, but I didn't do it out my mouth. Anybody ever been there before? You better be glad I'm saved. I'm not all the way saved, though. Keep pushing. I'm not all the way sanctified. You keep on pushing me. I promise you I will be taken. Oh, some of y'all don't know what that was, but you knew what I did. I took them earrings. I put that Vaseline. You ready? Okay. Got them back, took the middle section out, and man, I got the middle section, and I came and came back out, same thing. He says, "Well, Lord, amen." And then he says, "This is the fourth time. Put them down." Father, right now, Father Abraham had many sons. And you know, one of the songs says, "I am one of them, and so are you." I'm like, "I ain't one of them, and neither are you." And I got ready, and before he left the room, though, I'm getting ready to put the chairs back down. And Michael Knight looks at me, and he put his hands out on my shoulder. He smiled. He said, "I believe God is going to use you." And I mean, I was just like, I'm like, "God's about to use me to punch you in your neck." But he goes, "No, God's getting ready to use you." See, if you ain't willing to put up and put down and put up and put down and put up and put down a chair, you ain't worthy for ministry. But it's all right. You ain't worthy to grab a Bible in one hand and a microphone in the other and do what you think is ministry. Lord, keep a right spirit. I thought, though, that those tests were for people that were unexperienced. You know, like rookie people. Like, I was a rookie then. I had only preached one sermon. Then all of a sudden, though, I've been graduated from Bible college. Two of them. Amen. Had two degrees. Traveled the world. Everything. Land in California. And there's a pastor there. He's 75 years old. His name is Eldon Clendenning. And one of the greatest men of God that I've ever met in my life. And I am now there. A revival broke out. I was an evangelist. Revival breaks out. He calls, wants me to come and help him pastor that church. I said yes. I show up with me, my wife, and my nine-month-old Hayden. And I show up. And do you know what? I decided it would be clever to have a 5 a.m. prayer meeting. Like, I was so on fire for God, right? I'm like, hey, pastor, we need to have all the staff meeting at the church at 5 a.m., and we need to have prayer. And he said, sounds good. Little did I know that it would be no problem for him because he was 75. They wake up normally at 4 because they go to bed at 8, right? 5 o'clock roll around, I'm like, trying to pray, snore, pray, snore, pray, snore. So one day while we're at 5 a.m. prayer, it was over with, and he says, hey, I was just thinking about how dirty the parking lot is. I said, okay, amen, it's dirty, all right. It's a paved parking lot, so concrete. And he says, what I want you to do is, I want you to go out there and get that hose, and I want you to, after prayer meeting this morning, spray down the parking lot. I said, you want me to do what? He said, I said, I want you, because I have responded. You want me to do what? Like, I thought for sure he was wanting me to go find somebody to go spray down the parking lot. Oh, yeah, I got a bunch of people I know I can get them to serve the Lord by spraying down the parking lot. No, he said, I want you. I'm like, don't he know I have traveled all over the world and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I had, don't, where is he coming from? Don't he know that I got 2 degrees? I got 2, amen? I've got a bachelor's degree in theology, for in case you wanted to know that I, even though I'm a redneck, I got a degree. Glory, amen. And it wasn't free, amen. And I got a degree from World Harvest Bible College, glory to God. And an associate's degree from a community college, glory. Got a lot of letters at the end of my name. But he still told me to spray the parking lot. That hose didn't have enough pressure in that hose to spray dust off a coffee table, much less dirt off a parking lot. You know how I hate hotels when the water pressure and it comes out the shower head like this. That's the worst situation I've ever been in. Like, I'm like, I got to get out of this hotel room. It ain't got no pressure. I want the kind of pressure where it could hurt you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you're like, whoa, okay, enough. And so I'm out there just doing that, and I'm spraying the parking lot. I'm the youth pastor, the worship leader, and associate pastor. All in one. I was like the trinity of pastors. And I'm out there spraying the parking lot. Lord, help me keep a right spirit. Little did I know that under the tutelage, if you will, of that man of God, I would end up in Mexico. And ministry would begin in Mexico. And then since that day, I've been to Mexico, with the exception of the last 2 years. I've been in Mexico dozens of times every year because I was willing to hold a hose that did not make no sense. Josh Barnes, I'm holding a hose. I don't know why he asked me to hold a hose, but I'm holding a hose for Jesus. Lord, create a right spirit within me. I tried to call Pastor Brian this morning. You know how that worked out if you've ever tried to call him. I'm his doggone pops, and he's like, oh, I want to introduce the best man I've ever met in my life, Tommy Pinkerton. Well, then answer your phone. I'm calling him, sweating out already. I'm sweating out right now. I'm here to tell you, it's hot in here. I'm sweating out in the back door because I'm trying to sneak into church, right? I got my backpack. Ain't nobody holding that. Where are they at? I don't know. I'm holding that. Got my suit. Got everything. Trying to call Brian. He don't answer, of course. Will shows up, lets me in. But I look up, and then all of a sudden I hear, hey, Pops. I look up, and Brian is coming off the roof. Immediately I said, God, if you think I'm going to be preaching up on the top of this building today and get a sunburn on this big old forehead, you what, Lord? Nah. I was all right, Lord, get a right spirit. I said, what are you doing up on that roof? He's like, dude, the air conditioner is trying to act crazy. And we can tell. He's acting crazy. But he's associate pastor on a roof. Well, I want to lead a group to get on the roof. Ain't nobody going to say amen. It's all right, though. It's okay to me. I'm still preaching right. It's tight, but it's right. Somebody say amen. We've got to keep a right spirit within us. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. I used to serve Ellen partially. I would serve her, and that was a rough job because that woman was wild. She was a wild woman, but I served her. Had me doing stuff that didn't make no sense. Why? Because it's all about being on the team. Because when you're on a team, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you're asked to do. But see, on a team, isn't it funny that in church is the only organization. Y'all ready for this? Church is the only organization where productivity doesn't matter as much. What do you mean? Church is the only organization where the people within the organization, if you call them out on a mishap, they get offended. Where we let, if you produced, y'all are going to love this, the level of your productivity within church was the same, and you did the same level of productivity on your job, how many of you know you would not have a job? I got to take my jacket off on me because it's so hot in here, I'm going to have heat stroke. Amen? How many of you know that if you got offended as much on your job as you do at church, you would be a hot mess 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Nobody wants to clap. It's all right, though, Sheila. It don't bother me. I'm just here to preach, Manny. I'm just here to preach the word, and then I'm going to go out to eat, and then I'm going to go back to Georgia. Amen. But how many of you know? See, I've got to tell you, I appreciate a man like this right here, the drummer, the one you don't hear much from except when he's on the drums. Give David a hand. I appreciate a man like that. Who can sit back on the drum, been here how long? 7 years. Been on the drums how long?
Seven
years, and has remained his position. Now, there has been numerous opportunities for that. Matter of fact, I think I tried to offend David one time. Yeah, for real, because music people get on my nerves. One day I looked at him and said, are you going to sit on the drums, or are you going to play? Did I not? Now, some of y'all would have left the church that same day. Woo! Because every little thing offends you.
Come on.
You hear? Man, I feel like just rolling my sleeves up and let's just say, well, let's just do a circle here. Let's just get after it. Come on in the room. Why? Because, see, there's things at play that are greater than your personal feelings of the moment. Amen. There's a lost and dying world that needs Jesus, not a bunch of people who are playing patty cake, baker's man.
So he did get upset for a moment. I asked him on the phone the other day. I called him. I said, why are you still here? He said, I learned, Lord, that I wasn't playing the drums for no man. I learned that I wasn't in it for a man.
And when they, whoever they is, gives me the songs to play, I get in my truck or I get in my house and I listen to the songs and I say to myself, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And he says, I play the drums until I get into glory. And when I get into glory, it doesn't matter what anybody else says or does. If I'm in the glory, you can say whatever you want to about me. You can do whatever you want to. If I'm in the glory, I can know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Woo! If I'm in the glory, you won't be offended. So see, you want me to help y'all? I can tell who is and who ain't in the glory by how many times you can get offended in a week. Kick that pulpit. Well, you know what? I'm gonna preach this thing. Y'all ready for this? Y'all okay? I said, y'all all right? Y'all all right? Y'all good? Y'all feel good in here? Amen. Y'all glad y'all came from the camp and heard some preaching today? Glory to God. Amen. When you understand that there is some expectations within the body of Christ, you can't live any way that you want to live. You can't live in your truth. If I hear one supposed Christian tell me one more time that they're living in their truth, I'm probably going to have to start my throat chop ministry in the name of Jesus, because I've got to tell you, there is no living in your truth. There is only one truth. There is only one way. There is only one way a man can be saved. Hey, Oprah, there ain't a whole lot of different roads to salvation. There is only one way to be saved, and his name is Jesus Christ. And there's only one instruction manual in life, and that is the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the Bible, and that is the expectation that we have of those that are a part of this team called the church. Well, I think you're a little ticked off. Well, yes, because how long are we going to feed people milk that should be on steak by now? Talk to you. I got to talk to you because you're easy to talk to. Amen. I am a little nervous that you might punch me later, but it's okay. Amen. See, you got to have a lot of protein in your diet, right, in order to build up muscle mass. In order to be stronger, you got to be able to take protein. Amen. And in order to be a Christian, you've got to be able to receive a little bit of meat. You can no longer just be on the milk of the word. But what gets on my nerves is that people who have been in the body of Christ for so long are still anemic Christians. Amen. I'm not talking to people that are lost. Don't misunderstand me. I'm going to get to them in a minute. Somebody say amen. I'm talking to people that have been sitting in this church for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months, who are still anemic Christians. I'm here to tell you, you look like Gumby in the spirit. Somebody say amen. I'm wondering, is there anybody that's willing to take some meat of the word and lay down your feelings and pick up your cross and follow Jesus on a regular? Woo! I feel like preaching. How many of you know to pick up a cross? You know what the cross was, don't you? It was a device for execution. Oh, Pastor Brian, I'm about to preach. You won't lay down on that cross? That's why you ain't in ministry. You won't get down on the cross because you're too busy fighting. Nobody wants to be told anything in this generation. I dare some of you parents to tell your kids what to do. They'll look at you like you're stupid. They will. They look at you like you're crazy. You tell them to put that iPad down. They look at you like, are you talking to me? And that's how we do in the church now. We're raising church people up like this generation raises their kids. Well, don't tell me what to do. Well, you ain't going to go to heaven.
Oh, Lord. It done got quiet in here. I need a high five from anybody. Anybody give me a high five? Anybody? I need some affirmation. I need some affirmation. I need to be affirmed. Amen. Everybody gets a trophy just for showing up. Wrong! You don't get a trophy just because you showed up. Oh. No Rona. I'm going to put my sweaty face on her face later. I'm just going, oh, I love you, Sheila. Ah! Then I'm going to get punched, but I'm willing to take it. Did you see? I kept going closer and her hand kept going back. I'm like, is that the power of the Holy Ghost? Am I moving her back by the force?
Much to learn, you have.
Wow, that's good right there. That's good. Somebody felt something, but I don't know if it's the Holy Ghost. See, in church, in the body of Christ, you don't get a participation trophy just because you showed up. You want me to pat y'all on the back because you showed up? Well, you should. That's why my kids quit T-ball. My kids quit T-ball because they wasn't keeping score. I was that parent. I'm the parent that you left, me sitting by myself. Because when they got the 3-4. I'm that guy. It's 27-1. That's right. My boy is 27, y'all won. And even if my boy was one, it wouldn't have mattered. I'd have still said it. Because there's something to be said about losing and winning. We're living in a time where people don't want to keep track of winners and losers. We don't want to have anybody saying anything about, well, maybe you ought not act like that. Well, maybe you should stop judging me. Oh, that's what I needed. See, you tried to trick me. See, I'm going to tell you what just happened right here. The devil tried to use Miss Sheila right there. I ain't going to lie to you. He gave me a handkerchief, which is good for this. She gave me a Kleenex, which would have been half on my face. She tried to get me. You know what? When you're sweating and you got a little scruff and you put a Kleenex on it, game over. Pastor Ed saved my life. You offended me. How many of you could preach and say to this preacher man and agree with me and say, Lord, help me to have a right spirit? I won't even look. Hold on the count of three, you raise your hand, I'll turn my back, and I won't look at all y'all for long. All right, one, that you know that you need in areas of your life to have a better and right spirit. One, two, three. How many of you would be able to say, you know what, Pastor P, I do know that in regards to stuff that goes on in church, I need to have a better spirit. How many of you know that if you worried about your own heart, that'd be a full-time job plus overtime? Say amen. Amen. And so, but why is it though that in this in a body of believers that everybody's like, oh, don't say that about them. Don't say that about them. See, you wouldn't want, you know, everybody thinks sometimes that Pastor Joe is harsh or hardcore sometimes. I'm like, let me come in for 5 minutes. I'll show you what harsh is. Y'all know that, don't you? Y'all been with, Davis is back there. They've been with me for like 15 years. They know I don't care. If you get offended, that's your fault. Because here's why. The Bible makes it clear that you have to take an offense. This we'll call offense. That man preaches so hard, my God. We don't get no participation trophies around here at New Chapel, bless God.
Really like when he's like, blah, 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 blah.
You just took, I didn't say, you took that. Man, some folks have so many things they have taken. They don't have any hands to do ministry. They've taken up so many things, Dave. They don't have the hands they need to do ministry. And I'm not even talking about within church. I'm talking about in life. How many of you know that if you open up your Facebook for 5 seconds, you have a chance to be offended? I didn't get nobody say nothing in here. I had an amen right there, and I had an amen over here. I only had two. I said, how many of you know if you open up your Facebook for 5 minutes, you have a chance to be offended? Because everybody has got all of their opinions about everything out there. You know what I did in the first service? Uh-oh, backing up now, 12:11 if you're taking medicine. Where'd my phone go? Oh. Well, y'all want to do it again this service? You want me to do it again? Pull out y'all's phones right now. Pull it out. Pull your phone out. I'm about to, hey, I kind of like how no instruments have come up yet. That means they're telling me I can preach longer. First service, they were like right on time, like 15 before the clock went down. Sawyer was up there beating them keyboards, trying to make me hurry up. Pull your phone out. Get on Facebook if you got it. I don't because I had to delete mine. My Facebook is deactivated. If those of you who follow my social media and Walking with Pastor P, you've been out of luck during the month of August because I had to say, Lord, create a right spirit within me. Because I was getting so caught up that I was losing track of why I was created, and that is the gospel of the message of hope, trying to legislate people's morality with Facebook. Pull it out. Y'all got your phone? Raise it up. Those of you that got Androids, no condemnation for those of you that have an Android. But iPhones, Androids, lift them up. Pull up your Facebook. Go on now. Pull it up. You can do it right here in Jesus' name. I would, but I don't have it. Scroll. Just scroll a little bit. Look at your own Facebook. Just scroll a little bit. Try not to get offended, though, while you're scrolling. Oh, I wonder how much Team Jesus stuff was on your Facebook while you just scroll down right now. A lot of people had your political opinion on there. A lot of you have your activist stuff on there. A lot of you got Team Elephant and Team Donkey on there. Hey, now you got a lot of this stuff. Some of y'all might have had a good Facebook. Some of y'all might have been all right. You know, she's like, mine's very holy. Mine's good. No, she just like that. She goes, I think I'm good. See, what am I doing? I am saying that we need to have our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. We've got work to do in Jesus' name. We've got things to do, things to accomplish. We've got to have a right spirit. We've got to be willing to take a punch every now and then. We've got to be willing to serve in areas that we think we're overqualified for, not because you're too good for it, but because there's a lost and dying world out there. Who's going to work on the air conditioner? Who's going to change the chairs? Who's going to do the things that nobody sees? But I've got to preach and tell you that while you're doing the menial things of ministry and while you're living your life, Jesus is seeing everything that you do. And the Bible says, Jesus said, that the littlest things that you've done to others, you've done it unto me. I remember my man of God, Michael Niles, telling you about the one who made me do the chairs. We were in a service one time, and my God, that man was preaching. I mean, he was preaching fire. This dude was a little short. He was preaching. And I mean, people were going crazy, standing on chairs, flipping out good old. I mean, this was a Pentecostal church. It wasn't Pentecostal light. It was Pentecostal full-blown. And if you were there for the very first time, you're like, where are the snakes? That man preached himself so hard and so heavy.
that I had to lift him up on my shoulder. Took him out to the car, put him in. Took him to the hotel, Ed. Got him in there. Got him situated on his bed. He was sitting on his bed. And this young man, I got down on my hands and knees. And I took off his shoes. Got his sleep clothes, laid him out there beside him. I went to the other room as he put on his sleep clothes. And then I sat in those nasty chairs that are in the hotel room. They look cool, but they're not comfortable. And I sit there like this. No phone. And I waited until the man of God fell asleep. Then I got up, went to my room. I went to sleep, got up early. And when he woke up, where are you anyway? Sitting there, Ed. You want coffee? Okay. But I already knew what he liked. Didn't have to ask. Because it's in my heart to serve. So many of you wanting to get a call from him. You want him to search you out. Him to find you. Him to go after you. What Bible are you reading? You should be searching him out. I feel like preaching. I'm on my way to church today, Ed. I knew Joe wasn't going to be here. I talked to Pastor Joe 6 o'clock this morning. I was awake, already praying, getting myself together. He calls me and gives me the good news, right? I said, okay, good. He says, Eric, Kai wants to come to the second service. I'm like, are you crazy? But wouldn't that have been a good sermon that y'all would never live down for the rest of your lives? Well, I was at church 12 hours after my baby was born. No, less than that. That'd have been funny, and it'd have been awful. She said, but I'm driving. I got a text on my phone. It was David Lane. He said, I'm going to Starbucks. Do you want something? I said, I'll take a hot tea. Any kind, whatever you think was good. The one he got was awful, but it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it tasted like dirt. The Starbucks green tea. But I drank half of it because it's still good for your throat. Right? But he sought me out. I wonder. You know, when we get worked up about things in life, I wonder where we're getting, what place are we at where we're getting worked up by things? I think about a young man, and I'm going to wrap it up with this. Are y'all okay? Y'all all right? Y'all all right? There's a young man, I've probably told this story here before. There's a young man named Sam Suh, who was a student in our Bible college in Southwestern Christian University in Oklahoma City. He was Korean, couldn't speak hardly any English, and he had a heart for Turkey. Does that make any sense, y'all? Korean, moved to America, feels like he wants to go to the mission field to Turkey. One day, that man came up missing, Joshua. Like, we're like, where's Sam Suh? We're like, where's he at? Who's Sam Suh? Nobody could find him. One day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days went by. We couldn't find, where is this dude? One day, he's in near, right as curfew was coming of the dorms, he came and knocking on my roommate's, not my roommate's, another roommate's dorm, banging on it. We open the door, and there is Sam Suh. His hair is jacked up. He has, because, you know, he's Asian, and Asians don't have a lot of facial hair, right? So he had one hair like this long over here, one hair over there, one hair down here, you know, just looking crazy. I wish I had that same problem. I wish I had no facial hair. I was like, dude, where have you been? He says, I couldn't hear their voices no more. What are you talking about? I couldn't hear them. We kept saying it because we couldn't hardly understand. He was shouting, I couldn't hear their voices no more.
couldn't hear their voices no more. He's banging on the ground talking about he couldn't hear their voices no more. In my mind, I'm like, isn't that good? You can't hear voices no more. Isn't that called deliverance? You're free. And we're saying, what are you talking about? And then he says, when I first came to the Bible college, the reason I came is because the voices of the people of Turkey, those that were lost, I could see them in the middle of the night crying from the flames. And the reason that I came to Bible college is so that I could have a heart and be equipped to win the lost. He says, but in the midst of college, I couldn't hear their voices anymore. I wonder what is happening in your life. Glory, glory, glory. That has silenced your purpose. He said, I left because I prayed until I could hear their voices again. I didn't come back. I didn't shave. I didn't take a shower. I didn't eat. I didn't drink until their voices would resound inside of my head again. And you're worried about what they told you to do? See, because I'm on Team Jesus, I'm on Team Church, hey, this ain't no problem for me. Hey, because I'm on Team Jesus, I don't got to say nothing about nothing, because Team Jesus speaks for itself. Woo! I can't hear. Much going on in my life? Are you wanting to be a part of Team Church to win souls or to get attention? Are you wanting to be a part of Team Church so you can start your ministry, or is it to be able to win souls? But I'm glad to look at a church that's in the middle of a pandemic or whatever they want. I call it a fear-demic. We're in the middle of a fear-demic, amen, where the media is trying to induce fear on the people. But I'm glad to stand in a church called New Chapel here on 4 Mile that's got a group of people that could say, you know what, I don't really know what's going on. I don't really know what's about to happen. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know who's getting elected. I don't know who's doing what, when, where, what, or however. But one thing I do know is that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Jesus Christ is the center of my salvation. Jesus Christ is who I am, and it's in Him I live. It's in Him I move. It's in Him I have my being. And I don't know what you are going to do, and I don't know what you're going to march to. But I do march to a different drummer. And the drum that I march to is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the drum I'm marching to. And the flag that's flown over my heart is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everyone stand to your feet. Hey, glory. Hey, glory. Glory. What have you allowed in your life that has silenced the voices of those that are lost? Have you considered their salvation? You know, there's certain things, you know, I mean, there's stuff that get on my nerves. Anybody in here that get on y'all's nerves? Is it just me? John Boyd, he said, no, nothing gets on my nerves. That's why I went off Facebook, because I was plumb ticked off every 5 seconds. Because I want to straight dropkick folk. Because how can you be that dumb? But it's only based on what I think is smart or dumb. Right? That's what opinions are. Opinions are like, never mind. Pastor Brian was on the end of that phone call. Amen. And he, as soon as I said, opinions are like, Pastor Brian went, well, we all have one and they all stink. Let me pull out my opinion real quick. See, at the end of the day, that I know that my only concern, see, we want to fight racism, and I believe we should. Here's the reality, though. This book prophesied that in the last days, race will rise up against race. So, the only thing I can do is I got to make sure Tommy Pinkerton's right. Right? As long as my heart is right, then maybe the result of my heart being right, other people will see me and they'll get right. Because you can't legislate morality. But this book, when you put this book in the heart of a man, it can take the most rank sinner, the hardest of hearts, and this book get inside their heart, and it can make a black heart white as snow. I don't get it. How a brown cow can eat green grass and have white milk. I don't understand it. And neither do I understand how the red blood of Jesus Christ could get on the black heart of a human and turn it white as snow. I don't understand it. But what I do know is that my purpose in life is not to find the hill that I'm going to die on, but to make sure that people are saved, baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? So that this church, see, look, can y'all look around? Look around. If every one of you in here won one person to Christ, there would be no room. If each of you brought one person to Jesus Christ, there'd be no room. What is it that you've allowed in your hands? That you've taken, that now you don't have hands to put on people's faces? Your hands are so full of things you've picked up along the journey. There's plenty of opportunity to pick up things. But you got to keep your hands free, because my Bible says whatever my hands touch shall be blessed. So if your hands are full of offenses,
well, I just think that he's blah, 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 blah.
Hey, you won't be the first. I tell people all the time, take a number. Huh? Take yourself a number. Now, serving in my ministry of 30 years, look, I'm 47 years old. I've been preaching the gospel for 30 years. And do you think that in that 30 years I have had the opportunity, Joshua, to say, you know what? Forget you. If I were to wait for a phone call, Dan, from everybody that has offended me, that's all I would be doing is waiting. That's why I ain't waiting, because ain't nobody offended me. Do you know why no one has offended me? Because I never took the time to take it. My wife, she's took them. Some of y'all in here, y'all took offense for someone else. I'm about to jump out here and see if y'all catch me. Right? Has anybody ever got offended for your partner? Because they didn't respond the way you wanted them to and get bowed up and punch them? I can't believe you're taking that. My wife has said that to me before. I can't believe it, man. Why aren't you? I'm like, I cannot. I don't have time. to be offended because Jesus is coming. And I don't have time to be soft because Jesus is coming. And I know I come at y'all. I'm coming at you. Why? Because I want you to make it. I said, I want you to make it. I want you to make heaven. But not only make heaven, I want you to make a difference. In the meantime, but between now and heaven, what are we doing? We got to make a difference. I want the worship team to come. I don't know. I think they're probably all hiding back there somewhere. They'll pop out and manifest in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I was just looking at Dave sitting on them drums, and I can remember exactly where I was. I was right here, I think. I think it's during three hot nights. And I turned, and we're trying to get the band, is trying to get right, get on, get in. I'm like, ah, sing this. You know, I'm trying to get them to sing a song and go in. My man back there, I don't know what he was doing. I look back there, are you back there to play, or are you going to just sit there? Just like that. Not in the mic, but he heard me. He's still back there, though. Let's start on. No, y'all good. You don't. Why was I intense? Because there's a moment in the service where we needed things to come together just right so people could get themselves focused and go up and see Jesus. So I didn't need no playing around back there. Right? I'm like a chiropractor. Your neck might be a little hurt, your back, your big toe might be hurting. We're all sweating out. I hope you put on deodorant today. Because my right guard has done turned left. My secret done told on somebody. Somebody say amen. How many of you are ready, like never before, to serve God with all of your heart and be a part of this church to see what God is going to do in this community around here? Are you ready? Give Jesus a big hand praise if you're ready to do something crazy for God. Glory! We're going to sing this song together. And then I'm going to pray. And then I was going to say the restaurant, but I don't want all y'all to show up, so I'm not going to say it. Can if you want. Amen. I just know they're serving my food as soon as I can, and then I'm on the road. We're going to eat, then we're going to go. But we're going to sing this song. Get it ready. Whatever. What song did I tell y'all to do? Which song was it? King of My Heart. Whatever. Yeah. The last song. I couldn't remember the song. I remember now. This song, it gets good. But
let the King of my
Let me hear everybody sing.
Be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. 'Cause You are good.
Oh, come on.
The King of my heart be the one.
never gonna let me down.
Let me hear you, church.
You're never
gonna
let, you're never gonna let me down.
Come on.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Come on.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Come on, let's testify.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
I dare somebody to clap your hands. I said, I dare somebody to clap your hands. Come on, give him glory, give him honor. Come on, come on. I dare you to praise God like he's coming soon. I dare you to praise God like he's on his way back. Yay, my. Woo, man, that'll make you want to run and ain't nobody chasing you. Somebody say amen. That'll make you feel good. That'll make you feel good because there ain't nobody like God. He is good. And he'll never let you down. I said he'll never let you down. I tried him. You come too late to tell me that he'll let you down. He'll never let you down. Old song says he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. So good. You are good. Come on. Come on.
You are good.
Oh,
I want to hear you sing. You are good. You're good.
Come on.
Oh, you are good. You're good.
Never gonna
keep up.
You are good.
Come on, thank you. Good. Y'all want to know what I'm doing? I'm really saying,
you are good.
What am I doing?
Good.
I'm helping y'all.
You are good.
Helping them.
Good.
Giving them a little confidence right now that they don't have to have a track.
You are good.
Come on.
You good.
Hey.
Oh,
I said,
you are good.
Yeah, that hit.
You good.
Oh, some of y'all need to convince yourself that he's good. That no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's going on in your home, no matter what's going on in your family, that you serve a God that is never going to let you down. That you serve a God that'll never let you down. You'll serve a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above. I'm telling you right now, he's never going to let you down. He's never going to let you go. He's got you in the palm of his hand. And my God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. I dare somebody to say, he's never going to let me down.
You're never going to let, you're never going to let me down.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, you are good.
Jesus, the biggest hand clap you can. Well, according to that clock, it's 12:44. The children's ministry hates my guts right now because y'all's kids are back there turning two different types of cartwheels. I understand. Right though, I've sweated out my shirt, and I'm on intermittent fasting, so I can only eat from 12 to 8 p.m. So now it's 12:44. I can eat lunch now. That's what it's all been about—just waiting till I can eat. Hey, man. No, I'm joking. Just holding y'all long enough so I can eat. Hey, man. Hey, I don't know of a church in this area that is better than New Chapel. And how in the world that God is going to use this group of people right here is a miracle from God. We've been as a body, we've been through a lot in this last year. It's been crazy, ain't it? 2020, ugh. I wish 2020 would catch the Rona. But God is going to use each and every one of you for such a time as this. You are here. And look, y'all just be thankful. I'm not here all the time. Just keep you all this time. Because I can go this long all the time. I got another hour in me. You're like, well, I don't. So, I want each and every one of you to send as many text messages to Pastor Joe Bevilacqua as you possibly can. Blow his phone completely up. I want it to be vibrating so much that he just turns it off. And tell him congratulations. That's how we grow a church around here at New Chapel. We just have babies. Pastor Joe had his catcher's mitt, caught that baby today about 3 o'clock, huh? Good Lord. And you know what? Just as there was a baby born today early in the morning, so shall there be many babies born in the spirit as a result of each and every. Y'all are going to begin to birth so many souls into the kingdom. Y'all are going to begin to reproduce souls like never before. The foundation is laid. Here at the church, there's the great foundation. And the Lord is looking for people that'll say, you know what? I'll get out there. And I'll bring souls to Christ. And you're going to see an upswing because people are looking for hope. Two hopes. that they're looking for, hope in their life, in the midst of turmoil and struggle. The only safe place.
I need a safe place because your head offends me.
No. The only safe place is right here, in the presence of the Lord. That's where you can find safety. And New Chapel is a place of safety for the hopelessness in the world. The second hope is there is a blessed hope. Jesus is coming soon. How many of you believe that? Give the Lord a hand clap as I turn it over to Pastor Brian.
With every head bowed in this place, every eye closed, I want to speak to your hearts right now. For those of you who are in the room and you have not made that decision to make Lord of your life, and this message has been resonating, it's been speaking to you, God is opening up your heart to make that decision. And you may be asking the question, who is Jesus? Jesus is the perfect, sinless Son of God sent to earth who paid the price on the cross for your salvation. But what you have to do, repent of our sins, make Him Lord. And Lord just means boss. We're going to say a prayer. And the scriptures say, if you mean this prayer, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you make that decision today, I want you to repeat this after me. And if you are a Christian in here, repeat this in support of those people. Repeat this as a declaration of your faith. Say, Father, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word that if I would call Jesus Lord, that I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. I'm making you Lord of my life. I ask that you'd forgive my sins. Father, I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for receiving me. I thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, can we give it up for those people who accepted Christ in this place? Hallelujah. Before we dismiss, I want to just say two quick announcements. Number one, everybody say next week. We have beach baptisms. If you have not been baptized, yeah, give it up for beach baptisms. Praise God. If you have not been baptized, you can sign up at guest services or at newchapel.com, and we would love to celebrate with you that incredible decision. If you are not getting baptized, but you're in this room, come on out to Grand Haven at 1:30 p.m. We're going to be right by like the bathrooms in the state park in that main parking lot by the water. Look for the New Chapel tents and flags. We're going to have snacks and drinks and games, and we're going to be able to fellowship and celebrate together those people getting baptized. And also, September 6th, we have our Labor Day service. It's one drive-in service at 11 a.m. After that, we're going to be grilling out, having fun, games, cornhole, kind of like the 4th of July service we had. But I'm so thankful for Pastor Tommy and the word he shared today. Can we give it up for Pastor Tommy right now? Come on, really honor the man of God. Absolutely. And I want to pray for you as you go into the rest of your week. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And as you go, preach. Have an awesome week, New Chapel.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.